Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. If I sound a little weird to you guys, I'm sorry. I'm having an issue with Skype right now. I'm trying to figure it out. So, yeah. What's today? Tuesday? Yes. It is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. It's daytime. And I know you're a little confused because it's a voice that you haven't heard in a very long time. And it's also in the daytime, so you guys are probably a little confused. I'm Snow White. Yeah, I'm filling in for Ginger, who had to go take care of probably smack down on some of them zombies. You know how things roll.
Hey, I'm a zombie. I'm a zombie now. Don't.
Oh, my bad. Was she bothering your brother?
Yeah, I'm going to bite a face.
Bite a face salt. Just stay away from the bath salts. And we also have Corey / Gaminatrix, who is the boss lady of us all.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday to you all out there in the Twitterverse. And the face land of face.
In the faceless land of the internet. Oh, yes. And it is actually Pixinista. And
no, it's not Pixinista. That's like
not Pixinista. I'm sorry. That's
lunch
it's
with
Tuesday, Pixinista. I'm used to Pixinista. It's the news.
It's time for some news. Something's wrong with the girl. That's
something is wrong with me. And you know what? She knows exactly what's wrong with me today.
You contracted zombieism.
Mm-hmm. That's how I did. I did contract zombieism. I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in here first, darling. Because sure. I have an announcement to make. Those of you who will be out in Los Angeles August 5th through the 6th, make sure you stop by Scorpus. If you've never been to that, it's a kind of art, science, technology thing. One of our favorite female gamer royalty, Jane McGonigal, will be there giving one of the keynote speeches. So you need to stop by and check that out. Hi, Jane. Now I have to talk about Fable because I was telling Miss Snow how cute I think Gary Carr is. I like old men. I just think they're hot. They know what they're doing.
Not always.
Not always, but some of them know what they're doing. They know how to do it. Anyway, Gary Carr, remember we were talking some months ago about what the hell happened to Milo? You guys remember we saw Milo and he was, you know, all in the screen. We thought it was a little creepy, but I still wanted to check him out. So whatever happened to Milo? Well, Gary Carr, who's the creative director at UK development studio Lionhead, has revealed that while the team is still frustrated by the cancellation of Milo and Kate, the technology actually lives on in upcoming Fable, The Journey. Yeah, he's now a little wizard, is what he told our favorite writer, Biz. He said that the tech used to interact with the virtual child, like seated play and certain gestures, had been incorporated into the Kinect-friendly fantasy. He says he is around in tech form, but it's a shame because I think it was really brave and different and interesting. Carr is clearly the man that loves not just the projects he works on, but the people he works with, and suggested that a very special brand of innovation that Lionhead creates was behind the groundbreaking Kinect project. There's just something about Lionhead that makes us wacky thinking about what we want to do next. The Milo thing, so many companies wouldn't do that, wouldn't say, right, we're going to try and make a living breathing a virtual boy. Why wasn't it? Well, you know what? I'm not going to ask why it's a girl. We don't care what you think about that. He blamed the lack of openness for the project's eventual cancellation, but also admitted these cancellations were part and parcel of being a developer. He said, we built, finished 2/5 of it. It lives. I'd love to show that one day. I'm not sure I can, but I'd love to. He also spoke a little bit about life after Lionhead frontman Joseph's departure, and he teased that the first noticeable difference was the lack of cigarette butts that could be found outside the Lionhead offices. This is very true.
Wow.
He said Peter isn't a snake, but he needs to shed a skin every now and again. I think when it's running its, I think when it's running itself, when people know what they're doing, when it's carved its path and its trajectory and its working functioning studio, which can take years, something dies in Peter and he wants to go and do it again. So basically, he wanted to start all over. I can understand that. He got a little bored. Of course, he refused to comment on the studio's next project beyond Fable, The Journey, although recent job advertisements suggest that the company's focus, like so many others, is now focused firmly on Next Generation. He said, we have a few other things in our bow otherwise that doesn't sustain longevity, and I think that one of the things that kept Lionhead going for 15 years is they've tended to have other interesting things going on in the background. He said, innovation is core to what we do. I'm not so... excited about Fable's Journey. Are you excited about it, Snow?
Not really. And you know what's really weird is the story I was going to do, the first story, is exactly linked to Fable the Journey.
Ooh, do tell.
Sir's business now, but let me tell you.
Sir's business.
This is about Gary Carr as well. It's talking about how it's assumed that the Journey backlash from E3 2011 and destroyed Lionhead.
Oh,
let's go over this really quickly. In an interview with CVG, Gary Carr claims that a poor presentation at E3 2011 gave people the wrong impression, which really upset the developers. He explained, it destroyed them. You get very excited when something is very embryonic, and when you're building something at its very early stages, in the past, we have shown things much more underdeveloped, much cruder than the Fable the Journey demonstration at E3 2011. For some reason, it wasn't resonating with people. I think the presentation itself is partly to blame. It looked a bit like some spammy shooter, but actually we were building this big world around it. You know, you have about 2 minutes and 45 seconds to demonstrate what you're doing. I know that a main problem people have is they think we've taken the Fable series and trivialized it. Carr goes on to suggest that the reason for such a reaction may be because the game was shown too soon, explaining that some press coverage beforehand may have enabled people to get a better idea of what they were trying to achieve. He says, I think we should have shown Fable the Journey farther down the line. I think we should have had some press cover beforehand just so they could get a better feel of it. This isn't a sequel to a Fable title. It's meant to be a sister title, if you will. It's not meant to be a big RPG, but it does open the narrative on some Fable characters, and that's exciting to us because we want to tell the story. To me, it has always felt like the support title, while Fable itself is, to my mind, the mothership. But back in the studio, we are building something more ambitious than we've ever done before. The game calls the team to quit for the past year and just focus on making the game rather than change elements or go on a PR campaign. Carr explains they had to take a more passive approach and leave it to hands-on press coverage. He revealed, we decided then to go quiet for a while, not promote the game for a year, and then give it to the press to just play. I mean, I can't really recall a time when we gave a game to the press and just left them to it, but we had to do it. By that stage, Fable the Journey wasn't something we could have PR'd. It wasn't something that we could have promoted on its own. We just had to show it to people and let them decide for themselves. We showed journalists the start of the game, not the midpoint or highlight at the very start. This was a tutorial, meeting new characters for the first time, no guides, no tricks, and unfortunately, the response is really positive. I struggled to find people who said, no, this is still bleep, you know, that word.
It was bleep.
It was bleep. Hold on a little bit more. He also said, I understand that people won't love this game just by watching other people play. You have to see it for yourself. That's part of the challenge. The game is supposed to be released exclusively for Xbox 360 on October 12th in Europe and October 9th in North America. And apparently it really was crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you listen to us quite often, you hear us gripe and complain about being a good parent if you're going to let your kids run loose on the internet. Another child has racked up a huge bill on Xbox Live. The
awesome.
parent is being called an idiot, a liar, or both, and a terrible parent. This pretty much sums up the general response to the story about one Mr. Sam Guerra, a man whose 12-year-old son, Nick, splurged 1,150 euros over Xbox Live without, we are assured, his dad not having the faintest clue until he was neck deep in the red. Now, rather than laying any of the blame on his son or taking responsibility himself, he pointed the finger at Microsoft for not doing more to help him and their parents stop our cards. Alas for Mr. Guerra, the details of the story don't read well for him. He entered his credit card details in the first place to pay for the Xbox Live subscription and to authorize the account. Online activity is turned off by default on kids' profiles. As Microsoft pointed out in a statement to the Daily Mail, with a comprehensive range of controls available to parents in family settings. You know that big old green box that's right there when you first turn on the Xbox with kids and it says family settings. The kids are jumping in the air around the Xbox. I can even tell you that, as crazy as the dashboard is now. Furthermore, you're asked to believe that he didn't check his bank account or statements for 6 months. Then you must further assume that he ignored all the purchase notification emails from Microsoft sent to the address.
Yep. It's not like they don't do anything, people.
They do send you stuff. That's how you catch them if somebody's using your account. Then Microsoft's going to email you. He was Microsoft points and his son didn't realize he was using real money. Even, you know what, Mr. Guerra, you, sir, are an idiot. Even Baby Natrix, who is 9, knows that Microsoft points equal real money. She knows this. I'm going to tell you this now. Even she knows this from day one, since she's been 3. You don't buy anything unless you ask mom first. How is your 12-year-old son not, you know, whatever. Okay, so the cash sum, of course, is displayed during the transaction process. You all know this. You know when you buy something, it shows you this is how many Microsoft points it is. Then they show you the dollar amount. So, again, liar. To top it all off, he cheerfully allows his 12-year-old son to play the 18-rated Call of Duty. Now, if this story sounds similar, it's because the Daily Mail ran an almost identical article down to the photo that they're using last year in the case about an 11-year-old boy who racked up a 1,000-euro bill on Xbox Live using his mom's credit card.
Sweet. Oh, and an ass beating right there.
Ooh. it's all right. Too late. It's out there now. It's too late. It's out there now. Once more, blameless parent Dame Dawn Matthews claims she thought she was just paying for an online subscription, and she criticized Microsoft for allowing someone of his age to make payments without any checks being done, because that's exactly what's happened, isn't it, Mrs. Matthews? Well, according to VentureBeat, the issue is not restricted to Xbox. In April, the Daily Mail invoked its favorite headline formula yet again to report on a U.S. court case investigated by parents whose children have accidentally rung up huge bills playing games on their iPhones. You know what, people? I'm saying this. I'm going to be the first one to sign up for it. There needs to be a license to be on the internet for some of you parents, because I hear it all the time. Do you know how many times I hear parents handing the phone to me when I'm doing my contract tech support and letting the kids set up the internet connection and change the password and do anything they want because they're too lazy to sit down and learn how to use the effing computer? Parents, either do what you're supposed to do or don't let your kids play on Xbox. Just keep them locked
up. Or don't complain. What? It's your fault.
And good morning to you, Dark. He says, this kid wouldn't be walking if that happened. I got to agree with you. Baby Natrix's legs will be broke. Not even broken.
Yes.
That's the Southern version. Not broken. The Southern version broke. Is broke. As in it might be several tibia, fibia, all of it broken. Your tarsals and your metal tarsals and your toes all just snapped.
That femur, dude.
She would not. I'm not playing around. That's a no-no. You have to ask first. If it doesn't say free on it, it costs money. That's a good lesson to teach your child. And if he's 12 years old doing this,
he should already know.
Yes, he's about to go out into the world. You're about to send a dumb kid out into the world. Sorry. He doesn't know that this costs money. What did he think, the magical Microsoft Point Fairy was giving him free stuff? Do you really think you were getting, you know what?
Microsoft Fairy.
The magical Microsoft Point Fairy. Yes. Oh, people, please. Come on.
Can the Microsoft Point Fairy visit me? I'm just saying.
She needs to visit me, too, if they're giving them away that much. 1,200 euros? And the transfer rate, if he's an American? Oh, my God. That's almost $2,000.
Right?
And you didn't notice.
And continuing the trend.
Uh-oh.
Of us having stories that kind of blend together. See how I'm doing this?
You roll right.
Right? There is actually a possibility of a $99 subscription Xbox 360 coming to Europe.
Oh, so we're getting it and then they're getting it.
Mm-hmm. This was off of IGN, by the way. It says, the subscription-based $99 Xbox 360 currently available in the U.S. may soon be offered in Europe. Xbox Europe chief Chris Lewis told VG247 that he was watching to see how American consumers reacted to buying $99 Xbox 360s with a 2-year subscription to Xbox Live, with a view to take the scheme global, which is good business to me. He says, We'll watch it with interest, and then we'll decide if it makes sense for us to expand more fully in North America, globally, or by region. It'll be very interesting to see how it works out. We listen to what the consumers are asking for, and we experiment with different propositions in different markets. There are certain things we've done in Europe over the years. For example, a lot of our soft and hard bundling... A lot of our soft and hard bundling initiatives have ended up becoming global initiatives based on consumption patterns. I'm grinning like a cat now. The one you described there will I have totally messed this story up. I'm sorry. The one you described there will similarly track that and see how that goes down. I think it will be very popular. The subscription-based offer launched in States in May only in Microsoft stores, though it has been since rolled out to all Best Buy and GameStop retailers. The initiative offers gamers a 4 gigabyte, Xbox 360 with Kinect for $99, providing them to take out a 2-year contract with Xbox Live Gold at $14.99 a month. Which actually, for Microsoft, that's a really good deal.
It's a lovely deal. Well, you know what? No, at the same time, okay, what I don't like is you're locked into that contract. You can't say, you know, I got my $99 Xbox and 5 months from now, I don't want it. You can't go. It's a contract. Even though they let you play monthly, you can't. It's bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. But still, that's a very good deal for Microsoft.
Well, okay, if you all have been listening, we've been talking about that new console. You heard about the new console coming out? No? Oh, yeah.
Vaguely, yes. Vaguely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, it's daytime now.
I don't think I'm allowed out in the daytime anymore.
You are no longer allowed out in the day. No, ma'am. Just bad. All in the morning. You know what? I know what I'm doing with y'all. Put y'all over my knee. Or put y'all over Ben's knee, rather. All right. So,
woo-hoo!
Of course, if you've heard about Ouya, there's a whole bunch of controversy surrounding it. Is it real? Or, you know, or who are these people? Yesterday, Ginger had her exclusive where she dug into their background and found out they only got, like, 2 people working for the company, and there's no real box yet. However, they're saying Ouya CEO Julie Ehrman, and it is a woman that's putting it together, so I'm going to put a little more faith in it. She's responded to the criticisms that the crowdfunded Android-based console will be an open invitation to pirates. She spoke to Eurogamer yesterday and claimed that Ouya, which has been sold as an open, hackable platform, will at least be as secure as any existing Android device. She said, in fact, because all paid consoles will require authentication with Ouya servers, we have an added layer of security. Hacking and openness are about getting what you want to do with the hardware. Rooting the device won't give you any more access to the software. Ouya was brought to the public's attention when its Kickstarter campaign, which breezed past its $950,000 target in a matter of hours. Currently, the campaign...
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Okay.
The campaign has raised at present almost $5 million for product development, and they still got 22 days to go. I would like it better if they'd offer me some options. I'd invest then if they say I own a piece of it. I'd like that better. She says, we've raised enough to build a great product just as we planned. She says, more certainly helps, though the more we raise, the more we can create a great service for game developers with better tools and more gamers for them to reach with their games. More game developers means more better games, and mm-hmm. that's better for gamers. That's a whole lot of double talk, Julie. We don't like that. Not coming from a girl. Stop it. However, the abundant industry commentators from finding fault, with both Rob Fahey and Chris Morris posting skeptical articles on GI.biz as well. I want to believe that it's going to be fantastical. I'm worried now because there is no safety net for once they get this money. If they just decide to take it and be like, ah ha ha.
What was that? Did they say it again? I missed it. What?
Ah ha ha. That's what they're going to say. There's no console. We got your $5 million. We out.
We're out.
Peace out, bitches.
That's
all right. I'm concerned about this now because Kickstarter seems to be doing some weird stuff lately. Ginger, we were talking about this yesterday. Snow is another witness to this. Kickstarter, we have a Kickstarter campaign. However, Kickstarter has given us the hardest time over simple wording, whereas this company, who doesn't actually have a physical prototype yet, and Boys Arcade managed to do everything that we were told not to do, and mm-hmm. still have a Kickstarter campaign. So I don't know what's going on with them people at Kickstarter.
They're picking and choosing what they want to do. They're not allowing just anybody to do it. That's what's going on.
Yeah, and they don't have any liability. If we decided we weren't going to give you what we said we were going to give you, there's really no legal way they can make you do it. They just take their money and go. So I don't know why they're being picky, because they have none of the liability falls on them. It would fall upon us. Well, not really even. That's the scary thing about Kickstarter. Once they get your money, they got your money. Be afraid. But there's a couple other companies we've told you about you can always check out, which we are looking at as well, because there's too many hoops to jump through. Do you have something?
But I like a hoop. But I like a hoop.
I'm going to reserve comment from this daytime, and we do not speak that way during the day. But
okay, I do have something. It's short, I wanted to tell you. Let me preface this by saying I normally don't watch wrestling.
Did you say wrestling or wrestling?
Wrestling. I normally don't watch wrestling. Well, I haven't watched it since I was 8. yeah, but I wanted to mention this story real quick. A former WWE superstar won't attend Raw 1000th episode because of SOPA/CISPA.
Ooh, nice.
Right on, dude. Let me read this real quick. Various wrestling blogs – oh, by the way, this is off of Game Politics. Various wrestling blogs around on the internet were speculating that because Monday Night Raw's 1,000th episode would take place live in Las Vegas next Monday, that Sean Morley, also known as Val Venus I don't know what's wrong with me today – known as Val Venus would be part of the show. Answering a question on Twitter
– Man, you are off. Oh, good God. Is this what you guys do when I'm...
Yes. Answering a question on Twitter, Morley shot that rumor down, noting that he would not be part of the WWE because of its support in the past for the Stop Online Piracy Act, which is SOPA, and the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, which is CIPSA. I said it's just CIPSA. For the record, I couldn't find any evidence that the WWE supports CISPA as of this writing. Responding to a question from a follower, Sean Morley said the following, not so long as they support SOPA/CISPA. It should also be noted that Sean Morley is a staunch libertarian and a Ron Paul supporter, so that his strong position on bills like CISPA and SOPA are in line with what all libertarians think about the government trying to regulate things. Not necessarily, because I don't approve with CISPA and SOPA. And I think the government should regulate some things. So, hey. Anyway. But yeah, so kudos to you, Mr. Morley, for...
Sorry. Why?
I don't think I'm allowed to do the daytime show anymore.
No, ma'am. We're going to keep you off. All right. So you're on AT&T, aren't you, Snow? Are you an AT&T person?
Yes. My new iPhone 4S is with AT&T.
Oh, yeah, they missed it on the phone we had with Siri the other night, but before we did the show. But, yeah, Siri is hilarious. But
is hilarious.
Would you pay them extra money for FaceTime?
What do you mean FaceTime?
To use the Apple FaceTime video chat feature. Would you pay extra for it?
No.
Well, looks like AT&T is prepared to give its users FaceTime over cellular for free. So instead, the carrier appears to be planning to control. They've been planning to control and charge extra for the feature, similar to how AT&T charges extra to use the iPhone's personal hotspot feature. This reporter at 9 to 5 Mac, when trying to enable the FaceTime feature over cellular in the latest version of the iOS 6 beta, the site received an error asking that it contact AT&T to enable the feature. Specifically, the error appears for developers who restore their network settings in iOS 6 beta 3 or restore their iPhone from that beta. In a statement, AT&T told 9to5 Mac, "We're working closely with Apple on the new developer build of iOS 6 and will share more information with our customers as it becomes available. If the report ends up being accurate, it would be very disappointing for users who were expecting to use FaceTime over their AT&T LTE 4G network with the next iPhone or the new iPad. AT&T users on 3G likely won't be missing much since the network is generally too slow to support high-quality video chat, but LTE 4G users may feel cheated after already paying more for faster network speeds. It's currently unclear how other carriers plan to handle the FaceTime over cellular feature. don't be surprised if others try to follow in the footsteps of AT&T. Sprint will likely keep the feature free, but as typical is typical of Sprint customer-friendly initiatives, nobody will care. You know, I don't understand why they're charging for this. Those of you who have an Android, if you have anything of the one of the newer varieties or even in the last year, you can use Google video chat over your phone. And I've done it before. You can sit and video chat with somebody over your phone. So why is AT&T trying to stick people for their paper?
Because AT&T wants more paper.
You know Joe, who's asking for a link? What's going on? Oh, that's Ginger saying good morning. Link to what? I'm missing part of this conversation. I don't know what's going on. Joe, if you're talking to Ginger, tell her I'm going to bite her face. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. Face is going to be bit. Look, Snow's looking too. Yeah, you looking too, Fana. What's going on?
Yes.
I missed part of this conversation.
I'm confused.
Oh, he posted. No, that's hours ago. I don't know what's going on there. I'm going to bite both your faces off. How about that? Mm-hmm. Face is going to be bit. Snow, did I just lose you, darling? Looks like I did. Well, that means I got to do this next one by myself. Yeah, I lost her. It's a sad, sad day. Okay. A new company called App Genius has put out a new game titled Totem Time Bomb.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I was about to go into my next turn. Let me go ahead and finish anyway. Totem Time Bomb is a mobile puzzle game available for both Apple iPhone and iPad. You actually sound better, by the way, Snow. It's supposed to be a skill-based puzzle game filled with challenging levels and fun music. Two types of gameplay modes are currently available, Marathon and Endless Mode. In Marathon Mode, you throw up in the highest possible, and in Endless Mode, you keep playing until your fingers fall off. Totem Time Bomb is available for free on your iPhone with Mobile Marathon at Apple iTunes and is also available ad-free on your iPhone for 99 cents, which includes a more challenging marathon mode that will only it'll leave some of your fingers on, but there'll be nubs. App Genius is also happy to announce its strategic marketing partnership with i80 Media, a mobile marketing specialist group, which they tell them not to do. This is going to be interesting. I see some story coming out of this. Apple does not like it. Okay. Anyway, you can check that out for free on your Totem Time. I'm sorry, at appgenius.com. Quit tweeting me, people. Crazy people. Why do you tweet crazy stuff during the show? Okay. Yeah.
Please stop tweeting her. You're making her confused, and it's confusing me because I'm all like, what the hell? You know what? I seriously need my potty mouth filter in.
It's okay. They expect it in the morning. You're not here. Now that I see what's going on, mm-hmm. Now that I know, mm-hmm. Faces will be bitten next time. Faces are coming off. Do you have another? Are you ready, Snow? Are you ready for another story, or would you like me to do another?
It's a short one. It's a short one, but I think it might make some people excited. EA has announced Battlefield 4.
Ooh.
No cheering? No happiness?
Not really.
There we go. None. EA has officially announced Battlefield 4 in the shape of an exclusive beta for those who pre-order Medal of Honor Warfighter Limited Edition. This news first appeared over the weekend when Origin, EA's digital distribution platform, carried an advertisement mentioning a BF4 beta. Though Battlefield and Medal of Honor Warfighter each offers players a completely unique experience, they are united by their underlying technology base, Frostbite. These are two of the hottest shooters coming together to deliver a 1-2 punch at Beau, president of EA Labels. Access to the exclusive beta will be available in autumn 2013, and further details on Battlefield 4 will be revealed at a later date, said EA. So to those of you who may want to try the beta for Battlefield 4, you have to buy, pre-order Medal of Honor Warfighter Limited Edition. And so if that's your thing, put your thing down, get your thing, and do your thing. There you go.
Yep. Well, I never.
I never.
Well, I never. How dare you? How dare you?
What?
How dare you?
What?
Yeah, I'm not saying it right. I'm trying to get it out. How dare you?
How dare you? I have never been so insulted in my life.
I'm going to ask you this question. I ask Ginger this often. She doesn't often get the right answer. Let me see if you get it right. Who runs the world, Snow?
Girls.
Ah, and a special girl is now running the world. Her name is Miss Marissa Mayer. She now runs Yahoo. You heard what I said, right?
What?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And she heard she was pregnant.
That's right.
So not only is she running Yahoo, the girl put her thing down while incubating a baby.
Congratulations to Miss Mayer. She, according to All Things D, Yahoo's new board member knew she was expecting, but her pregnancy was not an issue in consideration for whether she could do the job of CEO or not. She said, but the pregnancy will certainly put her, who's already a kind of a celebrity in Silicon Valley, in the bigger spotlight. She might get a reality show out of this. Mayer herself tweeted another piece of good news today. She says, at Zachary Bowe, I don't know if he looks like too cute boy. They're expecting a new baby boy. That's right. Can't get boys without girls, just so y'all know. Mayer told Fortune magazine that she disclosed to the Yahoo board that she was pregnant in late June, and in a meeting with Michael Wolf, a member of four-person CEO search committee for the board, none of the Yahoo directors expressed any concern about hiring a pregnant CEO. Oh, my God, how hot is that? Uh-huh. She says this shows their evolved thinking, and the wags are already weighing in. Of course, Ben Parr, one-time Mashable pundit, tweeted, "Dear Marissa Mayer, pretty please name your baby, your first baby, at Flickr."
That would be awesome. I would have to laugh so hard. Seriously.
I am so excited.
Are you super excited?
I am super excited about that.
Super.
I can't wait. Was done. You guys, like, I work hard. No, you don't work hard. You got a baby on your hip and you are running a Fortune 500 company. That's when you are working hard. And it's
right.
Going to happen. You know what I want her to do? I want her to breastfeed during the meeting. During the
board
meeting.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh, man.
Bam! I don't know if it'll
afford it. Like, just pop a boob out. Boom! You know?
And then pull out a laser pointer and still be pointing. And y'all need to just... That's hot.
That is awesome, man. I would be in awe. I'd be like, you are just too awesome for words.
I would come into her office and just bow down, just, you know.
Be like, what was it? Wayne and Garth, we're not worthy.
No.
We're not worthy.
That might be like the little muddlings on Auto Worship. You don't know what the hell I'm saying, but I'm just bowing down at her feet. Woman, you are awesome. Make us proud. Make us proud.
Oh, I've got some good news, apparently.
Uh-oh.
It's also another short one, but it needs a mention on the show. Zynga has donated a talent to Social Action Charity Facebook game. Zynga is apparently loaning several of its developers to create a social charity game on Facebook. A development on a social action game based on the book Half of the Sky by the Pulitzer Prize winners Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wudun, that's a great name, is well underway, according to GamesBeat. The book is about turning oppression into opportunity for women worldwide. Hell, heck yeah! Girl power. The game will be released on Facebook on November 13th. Zynga's role in bringing this game to life is particularly special to us, said Half the Sky authors Kristof and Wudun. Using a game to potentially reach great numbers of people helps send a message not only that there are challenges women face around the world, but also that they bring great spirit and joy to their communities when they can live safe, normal lives. The game is part of a transmedia effort that it ties into a four-hour PBS miniseries. The game is under development for Freema Studio, with Games for Change serving collectively as executive producer Mara Chermayev. The president of Show of Force is also as an executive producer. Tremayev is making the PBS miniseries, which is set to air on the network October 1st through the 2nd. To recap, Zynga is basically giving developers to this game that's going to be championing the cause for women in the U.S., but across the globe, because I'm going to tell you, women face some of the most worst challenges all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All over. That's right, because we run the world.
And I'm tweeting this Mark Pincus from Zynga, you are now officially syrup bait. Mm-hmm. He deserves this tweet. He deserves it. We love when you take notice of us to help us, whatever the case may be. Awesome. All right. I forgot. Oh, okay. This is good. Oh, juicy. Mm.
Juicy? Juicy? Yes, do I need to get my napkin out?
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a Russian hacker who is giving people the ability to steal in-app purchases. Okay, so Apple is trying to catch him. They haven't caught him so far. They've issued takedown notices. They've blocked his access to the servers, but he is still getting in.
Are you serious?
Could you not? According to the Next Web, Apple has sent out a number of takedown requests for content associated with Alexei Viborodin, known by his YouTube account name as Zondi80. Z-O-N-D-8-0. Or it might be O. I'm sorry. It's O. The issue arose Friday when the YouTube video surfaced showing iOS users how to avoid paying in-app purchases. The hack worked on iOS versions 3.0 and up and any of the iOS devices that could run those versions. In the video, he used an iPhone 4 running iOS 6. Borodin explained that if you only need to install 2 security certificates as well as change your DNS settings, and you'd be set to steal in-app purchases. Apple is now obviously targeting Borodin and recently requested the internet service provider shut down his website, inapp.com, which served as a way for him to solicit donations. Apple blocked Borodin's IP address so that he can no longer access Apple's servers as well. Apple also targeted his YouTube video, which explains the hack and how to install it. The video now says, in-app.com, get in-app. This video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Apple Inc. when you try to play it. However, Borodin has published a second video entitled Reply to Apple. In-app purchases are still free and require no jailbreak. In the video, Borodin takes a slight poke at Apple. When you reply, read steal, an in-app purchase, a push notification, see image above, used to say, if you like in-app proxy, click like button. It now says, you want to love Apple, don't you? In the next web notes, however, that despite the shutdown and Apple blocking his IP, Borodin is still processing free in-app purchases. He has allegedly moved his operation to an international server outside of Russia in order to throw Apple off his scent. Borodin has also figured out a way to process the transactions without having to access the App Store, good God, and forces users to sign out of their iTunes account so there is no track between him and Apple. At the time, Apple spokesperson Natalie Harrison told our peoples over at VentureBeat, the security of the App Store is incredibly important to us and the developer community. We take reports of fraudulent activity very seriously, and we are investigating. Beyond stealing from Apple and its developers, however, finding a way around paying for in-app purchases is taking away some of the livelihood of free-to-play app. Really? They're free-to-play. This is mainly free app developers rely on advertising and in-app purchase to revenue to run their business. Having one of those taken away would undoubtedly severely affect the company's P&L. You know what, Apple? It's affecting you. You take most of their money. You take most of their money. You don't let them do any advertising. You don't let them do anything. And then on top of that, you have snubbed your nose at the gamer community. That's why we're not coming to your aid. You won't use the ESRB rating system. So, sorry. I'm not feeling too sorry for you. You're stealing from other people. He's stealing from you. I'm not saying either one of y'all are right, but, hey, y'all deserve each other maybe. Just saying. Freaking Apple.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
That was your cute little snort. That was adorable.
Okay. On another herp-a-derp kind of story. A herp-a-derp. This is off of Game Politics. I'm not even going to give you the name of the article. I'm just going to go right into it. So listen up. Dating sites that cater to gamers are already viably questionable to begin with. But a new site called Shag a Gamer, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not safe for work, so please don't go there if you're at work. I mean, I'm already not safe for work, but this will be worse.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, but please do tell again because, we didn't know it wasn't safe for work, so good that you add that in. But continue again.
This is not safe for work, so don't go there if you're at work. Basically, Shag a Gamer is a website that hopes to take the concept of dating gamers to the extreme. It's a UK-based website, and it's more akin to Adult Friend Finder than it is to Match.com.
Shag Gamer was created by the same company that created Data Gamer as a reaction to the behavior of adult members over the age of 18, by the way, who were looking for casual sex instead of a relationship. This is the quote. It got us thinking that perhaps by providing a platform where geeks and gamers of the age of 18 could arrange to meet up and get it on, we could help people who may feel uneasy in social situations find someone and get some action. Data Gamer boss Tom Thurlow tells You're a Gamer. People were using the Data Gamer site to meet up for sex anyway, but this way they have a space where they can do this more openly in an arena they are comfortable in other words, online. Like other adult hookup sites, you can browse the site for free, but you have to sign up for the free membership. But to actually connect with other people, you have to pay whatever their membership fee is, which I'm not going to go over the fee because I really don't feel like worrying about the euros and all that other stuff. While I can admit to belonging to some questionable websites myself, this is just kind of...
I don't see the point in it.
I don't know.
Do you see the point in it? Because I don't. I don't see the point in it at all.
No, not really.
See, uh-uh. it doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to, what is it about gaming that's going to... Okay, I will say this much. I would be happy to find someone who was a gamer to be, mm-hmm. you know, to be a boyfriend. However, that is not the only prerequisite. So it's kind of, it doesn't make any sense for me to have
But
this
I think site. Their point is this isn't for, just boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing.
Yeah, I know they're saying hookup, but still, what difference does it make if you go to the other hookup site in this one? Because they're a gamer, it's going to make it different? Are they going
to... Oh, yeah, that's, I see what you're saying.
Are they going to use a controller? Is it going to be some kind of game?
Ooh, that's kinky.
No matter how kinky, I don't get it.
I don't either.
I think some people capitalize on people who are awkward in social situations. But honestly, those people that are awkward in social situations already have found a way to get their hookup. They're either in Second Life or they're playing an MMO and they meet people and that's what they do. And it doesn't really involve, I have to go to a site. I'm putting to play my game and I'm hooking up with this chick. I already know she's a gamer because we're playing WoW together. Why do I need to go pay you a subscription too? Whatever, people. Anyway, moving along, I got a short one from the people over at General Motors, and I love when you all send me this where it's like two paragraphs. Thank you, General Motors. It's interesting, but good God. Okay, so General Motors, you people that have one of those General Motors rides and have OnStar and you subscribe to it, you can now rent out your idle vehicles through what they're calling the Relay Rides Marketplace, leveraging OnStar connectivity already active in your vehicle to potentially earn hundreds of dollars a month to offset the cost of owning a vehicle. So if you got that Lexus you've been hiding in the garage, go ahead and rent it out. Relay riders renters can now unlock reserved OnStar in a car simply by using their smartphone. Relay Rides is the first third-party developer to integrate with GM's OnStar proprietary application program that will be available to other developers later in the summer. So real interesting. I don't know that I would feel comfortable renting out my car. I mean, I know OnStar, you know, they can kill the engine like somebody's trying to cross mm-hmm. the border and all this kind of stuff. I just...
We going to Mexico! All right.
I'm going to Mexico in your Lexus! Beep! What you going to do? So
I think I brought the IQ of the show down a few notches. That is what Ginger has to deal with. I mean, it's like I'm a train wreck.
I know what y'all are doing in the morning. I call up, I let them shake my head in the car driving. I know people around me are like, what is wrong with this woman? But I'm talking to the phone like, look at these two. Look at them. Just look at them. Just don't look at them. Look at you two. Why? What am I going to do with you two? All right.
Forever, name is
I already do love you ever, forever and ever and ever.
I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Well, I guess it's breaking news. I don't know. It just popped up on Game Politics, so we'll read it.
It's breaking.
My Xbox Live app is now fully functional on iPad. In what could be considered taking a great stride towards the promise of Microsoft's Smart Glass, the company has revealed that its My Xbox Live app is now fully compatible with Apple's iPad. Microsoft's app now provides the same capabilities that were added to other Apple devices last month, including the iPhone and iPod Touch. Microsoft delivered a rudimentary version of the app in December of 2011. It allowed Xbox Live subscribers to remotely browse Xbox Live content, friend lists, and message. Last month, Microsoft released Update 1.5, which added support full Xbox Companion remote control capabilities for the iPhone, Windows Phone 7, and Android. A new update, Update 1.6, brings the iPad app up to speed with all the other supported devices. Now iPad users have the ability to browse video content, launch games, play DVDs, and navigate the console's full user interface. Breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
I'm all muted is what I was doing. I find that very odd because
I was like,
isn't Microsoft coming out with their own? Yeah, they're coming out with their own tablet. So why are you? Speaking of,
but it makes me wonder, are they going to allow apps for Apple's products on
their
stuff?
Yes, I was about to say the same thing. It's going to be interesting. Speaking of other people with tablets, Google saying when developers finally get their $1,500 Project Glass units next year, they'll be prime targets for India's envious gadgets. From rival companies or anyone looking to make a quick buck. Luckily for them, it looks like Google has come up with an innovative way to keep Glass data secure with motion-based theft detection. That's hot. According to VentureBeat, Google today has received a patent for a method that will lock down the glass unit when it detects unnatural movements. For example, somebody slipping off your glasses from behind. Even better, the patent also covers a method that will call the authorities off when the glass units are stolen. That's right. You heard what I said. It'll tell the cops it's been stolen. Help! I've been stolen! Attendees of Google's I.O. conference were able to buy early Project Glass models for $1,500, though they won't be receiving them until early 2013. There is no way in hell I'd be giving you my money without something in my hand when I walk away. There's no word on when Glass will make it to a wider audience or how much it will cost when it does. The estimate is they're saying it should be around $500, which is kind of expensive. The patent, just to tell you a little bit about what it says, says it's a wearable computer determines unnatural movements of head-mounted display HMD and triggers a locking mechanism. In one embodiment, the wearable computer receives movement data from one or more sensors and determines the movement of the HMD is unnatural. In one embodiment, the wearer computer receives movement data from one or more sensors that determines the HMD is being worn by an unauthorized user. Ooh, we're getting into some high-tech business right here. So
high tech.
That's highfalutin tech right there.
High what?
It's highfalutin. You know what that is. You're Southern. It's highfalutin. That's some highfalutin technology.
Highfalutin.
Oh, wait. I got to do this one. Because
okay.
We were just talking about this before the show. Okay. So you know how sometimes you're sitting there minding your own business on Skype and you're getting IMs just from random people?
Yes. I hate that.
Apparently that's. We didn't find this time because you know, I try not to find any more bugs after that whole gag order we got with Microsoft last time. Did we tell you about that, Snow?
No.
Dude, we found a bug in Skype, and I sent it. We were talking about it on the news, and I promptly got an email from Microsoft that effectively said, shut the beep up. Don't you say another word. We've investigated. Cease and desist. That's Gamer Girls Radio. Okay, so you don't think they're watching, but they are. So anyway, there's another bug. It's an instant messaging. It was in the instant messaging system they fixed today, and it's supposed to send messages intended for one person to somebody else in your contract.
What?
Yes. So, man, I'm glad I wasn't sending any sexy messages via my Skype.
Right? I don't do that in the Skype because I'm always afraid I'm going to send it to the wrong person.
It would have gone, even when you didn't want it.
Even though I would send it to Corey. Corey would be like, what are you doing?
So the issue started seemingly after Skype issued an update to its software in June. Unlike malware, it did not craft its own messages. It took a message that you wrote and just delivered it to the wrong person. According to Skype, the problem occurred when the app crashed during a messaging session, which happens a lot if you run it on certain phones like mine. Optimus Prime does not like Skype. If you enter text or send a message just before the program crashed, then it redirected that message away from the original receiver to someone else. In your contacts. Yesterday, Skype finally confirmed its existence and reassured users that it was a rare circumstance. You are not affected by the bug if you are running 5.9 for Windows or 2.8 for Android or 4.0 for iOS, according to Skype's announcement just today. The issue affects those running versions 5.10 for Windows, 5.8 for Mac, 4.0 for Linux, and 1.2 for Windows Phone. So if you're running one of these versions, you should probably update your Skype as soon as they release that fix. Hot fixes are currently available for you Windows, Mac, and Linux people. The Linux update also includes fixes for a bug that causes Skype to crash when a user marks all conversations as mute. Yeah, as another one that marks call participant makes call participants disappear from the screen as if there's not enough screen estate to show them all. I've had that happen too on Optimus Prime. I was just yelling at Optimus Prime. I'm sorry, Optimus. I thought it was you.
Don't be yelling at my boyfriend. We gonna fight.
You trying to say you're dating my cell phone? When did this happen?
Yes.
You and Optimus Prime have been dating?
Yes.
Optimus, are you dating somebody behind my back? And I'm shaking the phone. You've been dating somebody behind my back?
Yes. He vibrates.
And I'm done.
I'm so good. I can.
I am done. I am done for the day. I am done speaking. I have been rendered silent.
All right. I think we have one or two more. It's like 9 minutes left.
Oh, we just got a text message from GLaDOS, and she also messaged you, by the way.
What?
GLaDOS.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
She's all over me again?
GLaDOS is in love with at Snow White GGR.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. GLaDOS, our relationship is supposed to be a secret. Gosh. I swear. Robots. Okay. Let me do this one. I don't know if you did it yesterday, but I'm going to do it again anyway.
Go ahead.
Judge overseeing Kim.com case calls the U.S. the enemy.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? He's right. He's right. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The New Zealand judge overseeing the ongoing case against mega upload founder Kim.com has made the news by calling the United States the enemy of his country when it comes to IP law. Speaking in a TV conference in Portland last week, District Court Judge David Harvey said what he thought about the United States. We have met the enemy, and he is the U.S., he said during the event. The event was organized by the Fair Deal Coalition, a group of New Zealanders who are strongly opposed to the U.S.-backed Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty. The group has been lobbying the New Zealand government to reject the treaty on the grounds that it would put a burden on consumers in the country. Those restrictions include extended copyright time and the possibility of new restrictions on circumventing DVD region codes. Judge Harvey's comment did not go unnoticed by the New Zealand press, who think that he might side with .com in his fight for extradition to the U.S. to face charges for copyright infringement and other charges. Auckland University law professor Bill Hodge said that comments such as the one the judge made can be seen as probably an extrajudicial comment that isn't helpful, a derp. He added that he thinks judges should be free to make comments as long as it doesn't show any respect to the specific case in court for them, and I agree. I'm sorry. He may be right. The comment may have been correct, but if you are a judge, you need to keep your trap shut when it comes to things like that.
It was not a smart thing to say there, judge person. They're judge
no.
person. I am trying to play this game called Crazy Fairies, and I just want to tell you people that
Crazy Fairies?
Yes, you know, I'm going to need y'all to do something about this business. I tried to play it on Facebook. It doesn't work. But I wanted to check it out. It looks interesting. They're a new company, and they're called, it's made by American McGee. Good Lord. They moved from the U.S. to China 6 years ago, and they set up a Western game studio in the West, which is unusual. Usually they're trying to come here. We're not usually going there. Spicy Games, what it's called, is launching a title called Crazy Fairies, and it's supposed to have some unique characteristics. It's cross-platform, real-time, multiplayer game. And when they say cross-platform, they mean I can play with Snow on her iPhone, via my Android, via our Facebook, via the web browser. Yes, hot, right? And again, it just launched today. On Facebook. You can also find it on Kongregate.com, which is the indie game portal, which I do frequent. We usually go to Kongregate a lot during Halloween. They have some of the best Halloween games. That's where we get most of those from when we tell you our top 10 every year. Also, within 30 days, it's supposed to launch on the iPad, the iPod Touch, the iPhone, and Android. It's not quite ready yet, but, you know, got a few more days. They said that's, of course, a big achievement since every company in the game industry wants to spread to new platforms without raising costs or fragmenting their audience into separate silos. Who's the guy here? What's his name? He's so cute, too. He says, we've yet to see a real-time multiplayer game that works on Android to Apple from PC to web browser, Mac, tablets, and phones. Actually, his name is American McGee, and he's very cute. He said in an interview with GamesBeat that the technology for it exists, but it's a little bit more than off-the-shelf technology to get it working. The free-to-play game uses Unity 3D, which we know is like their gods right now, which works best across platforms. As with other Unity-based games, you download the engine once, and then you can play such titles without having to download the software ever again. Oh, well, not ever again, but, you know, till they do an update. Crazy Fairies uses Spicy Horse's own back-end client-server technology that enables a player on the platform to play another on a different platform in real-time multiplayer play. Other titles allow for cross-platform play, but they are often limited to 2D graphics or slow asynchronous play gameplay, which is what you play on Facebook, like when I go visit Snow's Sims, and then she's not really there at the same time. With this particular technology, she would be. We'd actually be playing together. Crazy Fairies, of course, uses a single code base across all devices and operating systems. He says, we see this as the next step. We've captured all the pieces, multiplayer, cross-platform, tablets, and phones, in one title. Crazy Fairies is the third game to use this particular platform, which also has social features that increase engagement. You can, for instance, purchase virtual goods in one game and make use of them in another. So you move from your PC to your phone, and you still have your stuff. He says this helps games spread more easily from player to player with minimal marketing. Crazy Fairies will be released in all territories, not just over in China.
Nice.
Fantastic.
That is awesome, actually.
That is awesome. I've been waiting for that. Just so you know, McGee moved away from the consoles in the early 2011. I want to say he made that game Alice. Yeah, he did. There it is. Alice Madness.
That is a messed up game, by the way.
I have only seen bits and pieces of it in one of the few games that actually scares me, because you know nothing scares me. So if it scares me, it's pretty freaking scary if it scares me. But when he moved away, he left her early 2011 and raised $3 million from Vickers Ventures and then switched to cross-platform games on the web and mobile devices. He currently has 50 employees, and he is the one of the largest firms in the West, in China, and being an indie game company. I want to play this. I want to see what McGee has been doing, because it looks sassy. Don't it look sassy?
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen,
it's about
this show has been brought to you by letter S. Okay, S as in sassy. it is actually time to go. We only have about 2.5 minutes left. Tune in tonight, and you can catch us doing Pix and Panisa, right? We're doing that tonight?
Yep.
Okay. Catch us tonight doing Pix and Panisa. Hopefully I will be less goofy.
No, you'll be worse.
I won't be.
Exactly.
I won't be filtering myself.
Yes, it'll be nice.
And on that note, I'm going to start with music. Stay with us if you like us. Stay with us if you don't, because, you know, that's how we roll. That's all, folks.